That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
And good morning to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Pour yourself a cup of coffee. Join us for Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, live from the Radio Ranch, 13th of August. Pour your cup, and we'll be right back.
And the one you thought would stay does you wrong. And you're left alone to pay the prices high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel's
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
I like that song. Oh, I like what I see in my mind's eye when I think about that song. How about you, Jason?
I do, too.
Good morning, Jason, and good morning, Cowboy Kyle.
Good morning.
You have to unmute your mic there, boss.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kyle. Boy, it's a little brisk this morning, about 45 out here at the Radio Ranch, folks. And I know you people in Texas don't want to hear that. Or the people down in Florida where it's going to be about 97 today, but it's a nice, cool, brisk morning here at the Radio Ranch, and we've even got a guest. But why don't we start out with prayer? Mr. Kyle, we'll ask you to open with prayer if you would.
Yes, sir. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, this beautiful morning, and we thank you for it. And we ask you to guide and direct our words, our thoughts, and we ask you to guide and direct the words and thoughts of our listeners out there. We open up the phone lines. And again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Son who died on the cross for us, those of us that are yours, Lord. And we ask you to be with this ministry and guide and direct it in the paths and directions you want it to go. And we ask your Holy Spirit to indwell upon us and in us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, it has been a busy week here at the Radio Ranch, working on Newsletter Volume 8. That was one of the things the pastor really, really stressed, was to try to get a newsletter out every month. And there's sure plenty of information to get out every month. We were able to get Newsletter Volume 7, which was a memorial to Pastor Peters out. And if you haven't gotten that yet, or if you want some more, we did print some extra copies up. We'd be glad to send you one. Just write to us, Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, and just say you want that memorial a newsletter to Pastor Peters. It's volume 7. We'd be glad to send you another one. Well, Jason, hope you're gearing up because we'll probably have that other newsletter ready to print next week. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think we'll be ready. Looking forward to getting that out. Got a lot of stuff going on right around here and right about this time, but trying to get the newsletters out on a timely basis and continue on with the broadcast. And, boy, we've had our hands full, that's for sure.
We have. We have. We have. And we mentioned in this next newsletter, Cowboy Kyle's got kind of a title to the program he's been doing. We've all been covering the radio and his program on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central. If you haven't had a chance to tune in, you've missed a good program. But come this next Tuesday, he'll have another one, and it's called Saddle Up. Kyle, why don't you tell us just a little bit about that?
I kind of set it back in the Western theme, you know, because out here in Laramie, Wyoming, I figured what other theme to have other than a Western theme. So, and I kind of go, you know, I just kind of go back to the gospel truth, the basics, you know. It's kind of the type of person I am, so to try to get out of my comfort zone would be kind of crazy. So I just kind of, you know, I've always been a word guy, you know, and not too much into other intellectual stuff, probably because I'm not very intellectual. But that's where I go. I try to stay just on the kind of the milk of the word a little bit. You know, I mean, I suppose some people think it would be meat, but on this ministry, it's pretty much milk. But that's what I do, and that's kind of what I am, and that's how the show goes.
We've had several good emails and follow-ups on it. So, again, folks, if you haven't tuned in on Tuesday nights after the Solutions program, and remember the Solutions is on. Kyle hosts that usually at 6 p.m. with Doug and Paul and Charles. They always strike up some good conversations and talk about a wealth of knowledge there. There's got to be probably 100 years of Christianity there between the three of them to be able to ask questions and have them present their solutions that come straight from the Bible to the ills that are facing us today. So if you catch that on Tuesday, stay tuned, listen to Kyle's program, Saddle Up. I think you'll enjoy it. He always has some good new music. Kyle, he finds that music out there. The pastor used to could do that. He'd go traveling somewhere and he'd pick up a cowboy CD or, you know, songs around the campfire or something somewhere. Do you remember that, Jason? He had a knack for that.
Oh, yeah.
We've got one here that we played. Oh, I don't see it right here, but that we've played a couple of songs off of. And so it's always good to have a little bit of new music. And
yeah, when we would drive down the road sometimes, I remember our trip to Texas, me and the pastors, and we must have went through 60 CDs on the way there and back. And sometimes it's only for one song on a CD. I mean, because there would only be one song on it that he would like, you know. But it was kind of, you know, interesting to say the least. Because I've always been one that I put a CD and I just let it play, you know. But not with
oh,
him.
Oh man, I don't know about that. I can't
yep.
do that.
Just for getting picky, guys, getting picky.
You had an interview or something last night on your show, didn't you, Jason?
I was supposed to, and I couldn't. My guest couldn't make it last night due to a family emergency, so we set it up for next week. And next week we're going to be talking on chemtrails.
That's interesting.
But I did have some interesting information that came directly from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And it's on what should you consider suspicious. Potential indicators of terrorist activities. And so the way that we got it here, it says, well, this is kind of paraphrased, but you just might be a terrorist if you provide identification that is inconsistent or suspect or demand identity privacy, then you might be a terrorist. You might be a terrorist if you insist on paying with cash. Did you know that? Did you know that if you insist on paying with cash, that according to the FBI, you might be a terrorist?
You know, Jason, along those very lines, I can remember, and I'm sure you do too, if you were out with a pastor somewhere and he was paying for something with cash, whether it was a meal or a hat or a, you know, a book or a CD, you know, one of his things was he'd ask the clerk, he'd say, "Can you take cash without ID?" And he would deadpan it so well that normally the people would just, you know, it would confound them.
Yeah, you'd start seeing the wheels turn in their mind, you know.
And they'd be like,
they'd be thinking this guy might be a terrorist.
Yeah. Well, we can take cash with that ID, you know, and
so I'm sure years ago when he started doing that, it was way more of a joke than it is now.
Yeah.
But when you stand in line now and you pull out cash to pay, you'll be like the only one in your line that does
that. Right. Everybody else is.
And you got to watch it now so you don't get mugged.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, go ahead, Jason. Didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think the pastor saw that one coming.
If you alter your appearance from visit to visit, shaving your beard or change your hair color, your style of dress, you might be a terrorist. Hmm. And that just seems like that's something that I think most people do on a regular basis anyway.
Well, I can't do it. It takes me a month and a half to grow anything.
But it only takes, you know, how long to shave it.
That's true, yeah.
If you have missing hands, fingers, or chemical burns, strange odors, or bright colored stains on clothing, you might be a terrorist.
Did it say missing hands or fingers?
Yes.
Is that from practicing?
I guess.
Oh, goodness.
If you make racist or extreme religious statements, coupled with comments that are violent or appear to condone violence, you might be a terrorist. If you make suspicious comments regarding anti-U.S. radical theology, vogue, and cryptic warnings that suggest or appear to endorse the use of violence in support of a cause, you might be a terrorist. If you demonstrate interest in uses that do not seem consistent with the intended use of the item being purchased, you might be a terrorist. Like my father-in-law says, that's the average woman going to the hardware store.
Oh, goodness.
If you possess little knowledge of intended purchased items, if you make bulk purchases of items including weatherproof ammunition or mash canisters, meals ready to eat, night vision devices, night flashlights, gas masks, high-capacity magazines, bipods or tripods or rifles, you might be a terrorist. Then they have a section that says, what should I do? Be a part of the solution. You should require valid ID from all new customers. You should keep records of purchases. You should talk to customers, ask questions, and listen to and observe their responses. You should watch for people and actions that are out of place. You should make note of suspicious statements, people, and or vehicles. If something seems wrong, notify law enforcement authorities. Do not jeopardize your safety or the safety of others. Preventing terrorism is a community effort. By learning what to look for, you can make a positive contribution in the fight against terrorism. The partnership between the community and law enforcement is essential to the success of anti-terrorism efforts.
Mm. Oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. You know, I said somebody sent me an email about a month or two ago, and it was like a 9-minute video put out by the Department of Homeland Security, and they were talking about, you know, it was all domestic terrorism, and I think of the 12 domestic terrorists that they depicted in these little stories, you know, showing you that, oh, here's somebody, here's two guys in a van, and, you know, here's somebody leaving a backpack. I think of the 12 terrorists, I think 10 of them were white. And then of the 8 people, I think, that called them in, that were, like you are saying here, Jason, the good citizens who, you know, were aware of what was going on, of the 8 people that called them in, I think 7 were not white. And so,
wow,
you know.
So they're using psychology in it.
Right, right. That the domestic terrorists, well, it's just like the shooting in Norway here a few months ago, or a month or 6 weeks ago. You know, when it first comes out... your left-wingers will scream that, oh, the everybody said it was Muslims, it was Muslims. No, it was a blonde guy with blue eyes, a right-wing radical, a Christian that killed almost 100 people. And, you know, and it was amazing that this video that I saw came out on like a, I don't know, the Friday. I saw it right before the weekend, and then I think right at the beginning of the week was when this happened. And just the timing is impeccable, how the government does that. I guess I should say how the enemies of Christ do that. You know, they bring out this video that, you know, the terrorists anymore are not always wearing a, you know, they're not always a haji head and wearing a towel on their head. But if you look at what's actually going on in the world, the majority of terrorists are like that, from the Lockerbie bombing to, you know, recent things that have gone on here.
What about just these local acts of terrorism, like vandalizing churches? You think that that's done by little white kids, or you think that's done by little Mexican kids?
Yeah, and they don't call that a hate crime, especially when it's against a white church.
Yeah, when it's racial slurs on a white church, painted on the side in graffiti with gang signs.
Yeah,
you know, that's not a hate crime. That's not an act of terrorism. That's just kids being kids. Is that what kids are supposed to do nowadays?
Yeah. You know, what was it, about 2 years ago, we had our church vandalized again. We come in on Sunday morning, and here's all this black spray paint all over it. And the main thing they put up was, who would Jesus lynch? Who would Jesus lynch? And we put it, part of it, on the cover of a newsletter to let everybody see that, the type of things. You know, if we'd have been a black church down there, and somebody would have come in and written stuff like that on there, it would have been headlines. You know, the governor of Colorado would have been calling for a committee to get together and to form and to find out why we have all this hatred and problems in our community. Hatred to where, you know, why would somebody stoop so low as to go and graffiti a church? But you know, when our church is graffitied, and what's that, Jason, about the third or fourth time over the history of the church that's happened?
Oh, at least five.
Okay. And, you know, the Coloradoan doesn't call. The police don't come out. Nobody wants to come out and fill out a report. You know why? Because of the discrimination the anti-discrimination, I guess, that's there. Seems like I remember reading that the alien will go higher and higher and you'll go lower and lower. Is that not the time we're in, people? Well, Jason, we have a guest.
We do.
We have a guest in the studio today, and he's visiting. And I got a little. I even got some intro music for him. Are you ready? Here we go. You know what that is, Jason?
Yeah.
Oh, Canada. That's the Canadian National Anthem, folks. That's our, if you don't know about Canada, that's that big great white north that's just above us on the map. And we've got a Canadian here at the Radio Ranch this morning. Good morning, Brett.
Morning to Richard.
How are you doing, sir?
Fine. Fine, Jason. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Great. Great. And Kyle, of course. Hello again. And sure nice to be down in these hills of Wyoming. And an honor to come and sit in with you guys. Really great. And you know, I was thinking of something. I thought, well, you know, if I'm here, maybe I'll try to say something. And so I thought, well, earlier in the week something come across my mind and sort of connected a few things from it. So I thought, well, it must be the Holy Spirit, so I'll just mention it. And it sort of falls into what you're saying, Jason, that whole list of, you know, we're all terrorists. I mean, I'd like to see the list that would show what isn't a terrorist.
Exactly.
You know, and I was looking around, maybe thinking, you know, nobody wants to hear what you say anymore, and sin's abounding, and like that list that, you know, we're slaves, and like Richard said, they graffiti the church, and it's like, who cares? And you look and say, man, you know, it can wear you down. And so suddenly I led to read the book of Lamentations. And I hadn't read it for, I don't remember. Anyways, so I read Lamentations and the beginning of Ezekiel. And it just hit me. I thought, okay, yeah, nobody cares. But boy, it's pretty clear God hates sin. And, you know, and then I started thinking of people you know and the hardened hearts all around. But, boy, when you look in Lamentations there and see what's always happened to Israel when they've sinned. And, you know, I think of our nation, we're a nation under God, we said. But we have these blessings that were unconditional promises to Abraham. You know, but Abraham knew the law of God and lived under that law. And sure, we had all these blessings, but we're also under the conditions and consequences of not being a godly nation. And there's always been the same fate. So I don't know, it just sort of, you know, hit me between the eyes. And so then I was sort of talking to Richard about that yesterday. You know, and I said, well, as believers, you know, where we fit in here, we want to be protected. And, you know, but we're gonna see some things as things come down. And so we were talking, Richard was mentioning about the, you know, the oil and the lamps, the virgins and the oil and the lamp. And, you know, made me think of that 11th hour warning. I think it was 11th. What was the name of that one again?
An urgent 11th hour message.
Urgent 11th hour message, which really goes in regarding the oil and the lamps. And you know, and then I had another old book I happened to pick up. It's something my dad gave me years ago. It's called Nervous Christians. And talks in there heavily about if we've got fear, anxiety, sin in our minds, we're choking the Holy Spirit. And, you know, and what's in the heart will come out, and what you are comes out. And that's what we are as a nation. And then if we look at ourselves, eventually that would be the same. So, I just, you know, thinking the importance of being sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and, you know, where our thoughts need to be continually, and where our heart is where we're at. And one more connection that came on this, I have a daily, we call it daily devotional, you know, on my phone or on my iPhone. And the one today was Quench Not the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. And in it mentioned, it says, you know, if you're looking at your life and you're talking about what God's done for you and what Jesus Christ has done in your life, years ago, something's wrong. It needs to be, what's he doing now? It should be continually now, like in the ministry we're going forward and the Spirit's leading. It's got to be present. And if we're just talking, you know, in our own lives, what God did for us years ago, maybe we need to take a look and see, hey, let's make sure there's nothing getting in the way of the Holy Spirit. So anyway, that was on my mind there, and I think it sort of connects in with what we're talking about.
Amen, it does. It does.
Well, when you talk about that, I thought about Proverbs 24:19 that says, I guess 24:19 through 22 fits pretty well. It says, do not fret because of evildoers or be envious of the wicked, for there will be no future for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those who are given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly. And who knows the ruin that comes from both of them? You know, and we have so much of this stuff going on all around us. We have it in our societies, in our towns, you know, even among, you know, the churches. And, you know, so many, I've been talking to a lot of people, and they're waking up, but they're starting to see these things, but they're still starting to fret about it, and they're starting to worry about it. You know, we need to make sure that we do put our trust in the Lord. We don't fret because of these evildoers. You know, we stand firm. And, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have faith and the assurance that, you know, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the one that's looking out after us. He's taking care of us. He's in the driver's seat. You know, we got to do our part, you know, and if we do our part, He'll do His part.
Oh, exactly.
We got to trust Him.
Yeah, and Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
And that's no matter what. An old friend of mine back home, George, well, he's in his 90s, you know him.
Yeah, we know old George.
Yeah, and, you know, we'd have conversations about what's going on, and, you know, you can get, you know, there's deep stuff on out there when you know, I keep up with what's going on out there all the time, and the news, and, You know, but in the end, we always say, he would say, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. And that's so true in the end. You know, Jesus said, you know, I have overcome the world, and as he is in us, that is the strength and hope we have.
Well, you know, so many of our people out there, they don't have that hope. They don't realize, you know, they'll listen to these Joneses and these other talk shows that are just doom and gloom. And I guess it's at least good that they're listening on shortwave, that, you know, the people that do, that are starting anyway, like you said, Jason, starting to understand, starting to have their ears cleaned out, starting to have the scales come from their eyes. And they see all this that's going on, and all they hear on these talk shows is the doom and gloom. And if they would just read their word, they would understand that it's God allowing it. It's God using these other nations. In Jeremiah 5, and when you read here in Jeremiah, you read about an angry God. God's mad. You know, he's angry. There's one place that his name is called jealousy. That's God. That's from the Bible. But when you read it, like in Jeremiah 5:9, he says, "Shall I not, excuse me, shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord? And on a nation such as this, shall I not avenge myself?" You know, why should I pardon you, he says. Your sons have forsaken me and sworn by those who are not gods. When I had fed them to the full, they committed adultery and trooped to the harlot's house. A little bit later, he says, shall I not punish these people? Shall I not avenge myself? And, you know, he talks about the judgment that he is pouring out on his people. On his people. And you read a little further, it says, they will devour your sons and your daughters. Are our sons and daughters not getting devoured today? You know, they sure are, whether it's in high school now or over there in that sandbox called Kabul, Afghanistan. They're being devoured. They will devour your flocks and your herds. They will devour your vines and your fig trees. You know, we how many times do we talk about how we just do not have any healthy food today? Well, why not? We used to have it. Well, it's been devoured. They will demolish with the sword and your fortified cities. Yet, even in those days, declares the Lord, I will not make you a complete destruction. And to me, that he has not made a complete destruction. He didn't back in the days of Jeremiah. He brought a destruction, but it wasn't a complete destruction. He's always kept his remnant. And in that is where my hope lies, knowing that he's always kept his remnant. He's always had those that did have eyes to see and ears to hear. And you can get that from all throughout the Bible. He goes on a little further and he says in 20, declare this to the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah, saying, and I'll say it right here. Hey, house of Judah. Hey, house of Israel. James talked to you. We're going to talk to you today. You of the dispersion, the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Hear this, O foolish and senseless people. Because if you don't have Christ, you're a fool and you're senseless. That's what the word says, and that's what we tell you here on Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Who have eyes to see but do not see, and who have ears to hear but do not hear. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble in my presence? And then he goes on to just say what he's done, how he keeps the sea where the sea is supposed to be. But if you don't have Christ, you are that foolish and senseless people. You know, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. We had a little joke, I don't think we're going to talk about it here, but a little ditty about, you know, the atheist sitting beside the girl on the airplane. If you've heard it, you understand it. That it's the fool that says there is no God. You can call him an atheist, you can call him a Hindu follower, whatever it is. But it's the fool that says Jesus is not the Son of God. And you know, Paul, in the very end of Acts, no, not Acts 2:38, but if you haven't obeyed Acts 2:38, none of this makes sense to you. So don't try to figure it out if you haven't obeyed the gospel and obeyed Acts 2:38. But at the end of the book of, or the letter of Acts, the book of Acts, you know, Paul gets into Rome, and the last chapter, Acts 28, it starts in 17. And he says, after 3 days, Paul called together those who were leading men of the Jews, Judeans, And when they came together, he began saying to them, Brethren, I had done nothing against our people or the customs, yet I was delivered as a prisoner. And he reads on down. And then in 23 it says, When they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers. And he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus. And it says here he was teaching that from both the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning until evening. So how'd you like to have been at, heard Paul explaining Jesus all day long?
You know, I would have loved to have been there.
You know, I bet they had their whatever coffee it was in the morning, and they didn't just get an hour on the radio. It says here he was there from morning until evening. And in 24 it says some were being persuaded by the things spoken. Well, praise the Lord for that. You know, that's what we read about, the many converts that came out of the old have to follow the law of Judaism. Not saying that the law is done away with. Jesus himself said that it wasn't. But it says here that some were being persuaded of the way of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But others would not believe. And when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving after Paul had spoken one parting word. And this is what he said. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your father, saying, and we read it again in Jeremiah, Go to this people and say, You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. And with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return. Now, you know, to me, that's, if that doesn't put a prayer in your heart, and a prayer on your lips, to give you eyes to see, and ears to hear, I don't know what would. And it finishes out saying, and I would heal them. And so, this land that we're in today is sure in need of healing. Our people, if you tune in on the Wednesday night prayer meeting, our people are sure in need of healing. Well, there's instructions on healing, on how to get healed, not just physically, but spiritually and nationally. And then he goes on and says, Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God, this rescue of God, has been sent to the Gentiles. They will also listen. And then it goes on and just finishes that he stayed, you know what, another 2 years there preaching the kingdom of God. But I read that, and, you know, I read this the other morning, like you said, Brent, in my early devotions. And my 9-year-old son, George, was in there. He came in. It was about 6:30, and he woke up and sat in my lap. And as I was reading this, and he asked me about it. And, you know, he could understand that. He could understand that Paul was preaching to him all day long. And he thought that was really pretty neat. Well, Dad, didn't they get tired? And, you know, you get those things from a 9-year-old. But he could understand when it says that some were being persuaded, but others would not believe. And, you know, he was kind of saddened by that. Well, Dad, why don't they all believe? And I didn't really have an answer for him. You know, why don't they all believe? But it's right here. And so just as we read in Jeremiah, we see it in Isaiah, and Paul told the people in Rome 2,000 years ago, people will tell you today, you will keep on hearing, but you won't understand it out there. And you're listening to us now and just got a frown on your face. What are they talking about? The word says you'll keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. You'll see the Navy SEALs get killed out there 30 at a time, and you'll see how they'll convict people that don't need to be convicted out here, and you'll see how the blacks will just rampage in your cities, and you won't understand why that's going on. And you'll see and hear the reading of the Word of God, but you won't understand it, and you don't understand it because you don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there's only one way you can get that. You don't raise your hand in church on Sunday morning to get it. You don't fill out a little I want to be saved card. You don't go down to the altar and join the church. There's only one way. And how is that, Kyle?
Well, that would be obeying Acts 2:38. Well, Jason, you heard a lot there out of Richard's mouth. You got to—I don't want to change tunes yet, so I thought maybe if you had a comment on that or so, you know, before I add something to read here. But go ahead.
Well, why don't you go ahead and make your comment?
Well, when Brent was talking from Canada, he talked about the heart, and Richard mentioned the heart there. Well, it—you know—I realize there's thousands and thousands of atheists out there. But for some reason, in my heart, that's not the ones I hate.
No.
The ones I hate are the false brethren.
Mm-hmm.
And because they take some people who have been called, maybe haven't been chosen, but they've been called, and they pervert the word of God, they speak lies, and they destroy him before they get that chance to go in to the watery grave of baptism. They'll be converted. Some of them get converted so strongly, it's like Paul on the way to Damascus. I mean, you don't get any more converted than that. They write songs about it. I saw the light. I mean, that is about as strong a conversion as you can get, Paul on the way to Damascus. But yet, if some clown would have came by and told him not to go see Ananias
and get baptized,
it would have did him no good.
Amen.
Anyway, I was thinking about what God hates. And in Proverbs, there's two chapters of Proverbs that really describe it. Proverbs 26. I'll start with verse 22. The words of a talebearer, I believe the New American Standard says whisperer.
It does.
Are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not. There are seven abominations in his heart. Now, we can read about those abominations in Proverbs 6, and I'm going to hear in a second. But talebearer, or whisperer, if you look it up, also means slanderer. And if you look up the word devil or Satan in most dictionaries, it'll get to the word slander, because that's how he operates.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, going to Proverbs 6 now. I'll start with verse 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart, and deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. And that leads me back to the chapter we were just in 26. It says, he who diggeth a pit will fall into it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the result of these guys. But how many souls do they help destroy before they get there? I don't know. Anyway, verse 16, it says, these six things that the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination unto him. Now start thinking, people, who do you know in your life that this might describe? Start judging trees by their fruit. Here it is. How about a proud look? A lying tongue? Hands that shed innocent blood? And you don't have to kill somebody to shed innocent blood.
No.
You can just lead them astray. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations? Feet that be swift, running to mischief? Always getting in people's businesses, always trying to find out what they might have did wrong or what so-and-so did wrong, always up to no good. A false witness that speaketh lies, always telling lies about somebody. Maybe they don't even come right out and say it. Maybe they just put it in your mind that, hey, have you ever thought about this? And he that soweth discord among the brethren, that's another one. Boy, how many people do we know out there that put one brethren against another, you know, and then they stand back and watch, you know. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of my mother. Bind them continually upon the heart and tie them about thy neck. And that's what we're supposed to do. But I just want—I just was thinking about that, you know. And these things are in their heart. These people are so bad. They can't even get a good night's sleep without doing their deeds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and I got, you know, I don't like atheists. Don't get me wrong, but that doesn't seem to where that doesn't really pull my chain or whatever you want to call it. Like these guys, these ones that come amongst us, you know, and they try to get us, you know, biting and devouring one another, you know, and destroying it from within.
Amen. You know, Jason, it comes to mind that King David had one of those in his midst, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
And he just prayed for forgiveness and that wayward soul would just find Jesus.
Oh, whatever.
Is that what he prayed?
No.
What was it he prayed for him, Jason? Do you remember?
He prayed for death to come
yes.
swiftly upon him, I believe.
Oh, Lord, let us be like King David of old who had a heart after your own heart. Lord, we know that we sin as he did at times, but we have your forgiveness for that. But Lord, let us offer up that same prayer that David did, that King David, the type of Christ that we read about all through the Old Testament, Lord. Let us offer up that same prayer for these that Kyle talks about. We know they're in our midst, Lord. We know that they're here. We don't always see them, but Lord, we just lift them up to you. We do pray for them, and that's the prayer we pray for them, that you would let death come deceitfully upon them, Lord. And let it just take them. Let it take them out of the midst of the congregation. Let it take them out of the midst of the saints that do seek to serve you. And let you be glorified by it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Kyle, one point that you read there in Proverbs and in the New American Standard there in verse 13, or starting with 12, it says, "A worthless person, a wicked man, is the one who walks with a perverse mouth, who winks with his eyes, who signals with his feet, who points with his fingers." And I had never realized that till the pastor pointed that out to me. But how many of those do you see? You see them putting them all over the web, they, you know, using, what do they call it? Jason? The sign of the devil?
They
point with their fingers, you know. You'll see them. It's not always the little pinky and first finger out, but they'll have... You know, I saw one the other day, and he's got just his the first two fingers of each hand out. And boy, he's just a... And people, read the Word again. Like we talked earlier, if you don't have understanding, you can get understanding. You can understand where these things say, where these things are and what they say. But you have to read the Word. And, you know, don't take what we're saying just as gospel. But prove it by the Word. You know, go back and read there where Kyle did in Proverbs, and where we did in Acts. And it's out of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, and I remember the pastor telling me how many times, you know, not to trust somebody that winks. You know, watch for when somebody starts winking at you. Watch out, cover your pocketbook, and start backing up, because they...
you grab your wife's hand.
Can't trust them. And, you know, it's just simple things like that we a lot of times read and don't really think about, but you know, I know that, you know, it since the time I was very young, you know, that and there at the Radio Ranch, the pastor would tell me, you know, you watch out for these people that wink. And you know, it's kind of like when he taught me to watch it when they wink, and watch it when they start telling you they're a preacher. I remember him saying that, you know, the first thing you need to do when somebody walks up and tells you they're a preacher, he said, put one hand on your wallet and your other hand on your wife's hand.
Right.
Because you got to watch out for them preachers.
You know, in the subtle way, and it's all done too, you know, you look at the perversion of love and the perversion of God's grace. And like Richard, we were talking about Mr. Hoskins there and saying our churches are now, you know, Buddhist temples. Love, 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 and it's so powerful. And that's the scary thing about it, is those are enemies. Yet, man, a wink, a smile, just, you know, coming in with that poison.
It seems so sweet. It seems so sweet. Those, you know, right, when they'll wink at you and point at you and just tell you how much God loves you,
yeah.
And you just need to love him back and all will be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and what Brent mentioned, folks, is this past Thursday night, we were able to broadcast a brand new interview we did with Mr. Richard Kelly Hoskins of Virginia. And in it, he talks about the old days, some of the days when he first got the first phone call from this man named Pete Peters. And he didn't know who he was. And, of course, that's been almost 30 years ago. And so if you didn't get to listen to it Thursday night, it is archived at the website, as all these broadcasts are. Those Monday through Friday nightly broadcasts are archived at the ministry website, scripturesforamerica.org. And these other programs, like Solutions that we have and this Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, they're archived at the network website. Is that right, Jason? Network website? SFAWBN.com. And there's also a complete schedule there that will let you know what played when. We've been able to keep that updated, and that's been a big benefit to many people. And so I'd urge you to go to that archive, listen to that broadcast, that interview with Mr. Richard Kelly Hoskins. We also have it available on CD if you'd like it. But it opened my eyes to where he said, you know, one of the things he said is these Judeo-Christian churches are teaching Hinduism as Judeo-Christianity because they're teaching love everybody, and that's Buddhism. And there's no, you know, the only law they follow is the law of the land, the law of the king. And that's certainly not the law of our king. But anyway, don't want to go into that interview, but I thought it was a good interview and a wealth of knowledge there. And that was on, I believe, the 11th. Yeah, looking at the calendar, 8/11. That's how they're archived, 8/11/2011. So if you do want to hear that. But
this is the old book again, you know. You pick up, I think you mentioned before, Kyle, some of these old ones are great that were written a long time ago. You get some good stuff. And just as we were saying, the deception that they do, and this guy was a Christian psychiatrist, and he had this youth pastor come into him saying he can't pray, and his prayers hit the ceiling and bounce back, you know, even in church and stuff. Anyways, in the end, this youth pastor admitted to him, he said, after a few consultations, he says, this really revealing confession. As I look back now to my purpose in coming to you, he admitted, he says, I was really not as worried about my thoughts as I was anxious to see how you counseled with patients. I wanted to get your technique of counseling and learn something that would give me prestige in my church and my conference. You know, so yeah. There's the other way where the heart... What are they doing it for? For themselves and for destruction, not for the goodness of Jesus Christ. And
exactly. Yeah. Just like it says in Jeremiah 23, verse 11, for both the prophet and the priest are polluted, even in my house I have found their wickedness, declares the Lord.
Yeah, we got
to drop it on down to verse 18. It says, they say calamity will not come upon you, but who have stood in the counsel of the Lord that they should have heard his word? You know, they don't stand in the counsel of the Lord. They don't hear his word. They don't, you know, they're polluted. You know, and I think when it's talking about polluted, they're talking about bloodlines. They're talking about DNA. And that's what we're dealing with. You know, the different creatures, these beasts that are among us. You know, it's interesting because if you go over to Jeremiah, after reading Jeremiah 23, it's a fantastic chapter to read. On understanding different bloodlines and how they, you know, these dirty birds, these, you know, sons of the devil have put themselves in the churches and in the pulpits. But it's interesting because just along what we've been talking about in this broadcast, if you go over to Jeremiah 31, verse 7, it says, for thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob and shout among the chief of the nations, proclaim and give praise and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. You know, and that's what we're after. We're preaching to the remnant. We're talking to the remnant, and we want the remnant saved. That's where we are here.
Amen.
To help save, to do our part and our job that the Lord's put us to do. You know, and we're not after all the other peoples. We're after the remnant of Israel. Just like later on in the book of Jeremiah, they were able to see that there was that division, that they were in the churches, that they were in the pulpit, that they were the priests, that they were polluted. You know, and later on, they could see that, you know, the Lord reveals through Jeremiah the prophet that it is the remnant of Israel who he's there to save. And that's something that, you know, we're here to do. And that's who we're called to minister to, and privileged to, and thankful to be able to have that job.
Amen to that. Well, folks, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're sitting here live at the Radio Ranch, got that beautiful blue Wyoming sky out there, and coming to you live this August 13th. We've got a quick song. I think it applies here. We'll be right back. Hope you could hear that all right. That's an old, and it was an old recording, Hail the Law by Michael Patrick Carter. I think, Jason, back when he was here, he had, Pastor had those songs written, didn't he? And had Mike perform them. So, well, we got a caller from way down south. Josh, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I just wanted to call in and agree with Kyle, what he was saying. That you hate your enemy because they're your enemy. But a lot of the times it doesn't hurt the worst whenever they're the ones that attack you. And I think I know why. I think it's because whenever it's the false brethren she's speaking about, whenever they attack you, it's on you because you handed them the knife.
You handed them.
You gave them your back, as Pastor said.
Mm-hmm. That's so true, and it cuts to the heart when they get you. You know, I mean, you feel it in your whole body.
Right. And it's like David said, didn't we not fellowship together? Didn't we walk in the house of the Lord together? Didn't we cook hamburgers after church on Sunday? You know, didn't we go shopping, and didn't we hang out in Branson together? Didn't we do all this stuff? and then you turn on me? Then you slander me and lie about me?
But me and my wife went out last night, and I'm not trying to change the subject to y'all, but there are no good movies that you can go watch anymore. And we wanted to go to the movies, so we saw Cowboys and Aliens. And it's Spielberg, you know, and there's things that you can learn from them because, as y'all said, they give so much truth, and then they blend in the leaven. And when you got eyes to see, it's just amazing, the program. And I mean, in pretty much all the movies anymore, nobody wants to be the good guy, because to be the good guy, you got to lose everybody that you love around you. You know, you got to take all these blows, and then in the end, you ride away by yourself off into the sunset. Yeah. And it used to be, back in the day, the good guys won. You know, the good guy got the girl. But they're programming people so that they don't want to stand up. They don't want to take a stand. They just want to be one of the ones that mixes into the pack, you know. And I find myself doing that, especially here lately. Me and my wife were talking last night. When you got an enemy that's not attacking you, you're going to back off them and go to somebody that is. And that's kind of where I guess find myself lately, is that if you don't attack Satan, well, he'll back off of you because he doesn't want you. But whenever you back off, that's whenever you fall into that rut with the world and that comfort zone and say, hey, it's not so bad here. But in the end, you're going to be devoured. You know, with the tares, you're going to be one of the weak that's burnt up in the mix. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I don't know. That movie kind of, and watching his lies, I got a lot of truth out of it.
Amen. Well, Josh, thanks for the call. You have a great weekend, yes, brother. Thank you.
All right.
And folks, we're just about out of time here, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. And Josh had some good points here. You know, I'm reminded of the word where it says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his household, his possessions are undisturbed. We have to stay strong. It doesn't mean you got to be hitting the weights and drinking the protein drinks, but it means you got to stay in the Word. You have to be strong in the Word and strong in Christ. So, well, men, thanks for joining us. Oh, Canada, thanks for coming down and being with us. Kyle and Jason, guys, have a great weekend, and we'll see you tomorrow. What are we having at church tomorrow, Jason?
Oh, can't tell you.
Okay. You have to just show up, folks. You can be there at church tomorrow morning.
And next time you go to church, watch out for that guy who looks like a car salesman, because he'll get you.
Good morning, folks.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, head them off.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Write them out, write them more, write them out, write them out, write them more.
is approving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.